Did you make a 2025 New Year's resolution? Was it to exercise better, eat better? Here at the Nova Scotia SPCA, we made a resolution for our dogs. And my guest today is so excited to tell you all about our first New Year's resolution at the Nova Scotia SPCA. Welcome to Season 3 and the first episode of the 2025 podcast. Joining me today is a name that if you follow the SPCA, you have heard her name, you have heard her interviews, you've interacted with her at the Dartmouth Shelter. My guest today is Sandra Fleming. Welcome, Sandra.
Thank you very much for having me, Sarah.
This is your first time on the podcast.
It is the first time I'm on your podcast. I'm very, very, very thankful that you invited me. Thank you.
Well, I'm really happy to have you here. You have a wealth of knowledge, and I am not going to be able to even like touch the surface of your knowledge. But first, because if you are listening to this podcast, you might hear something in the background. So before we go into Sandra,
yes,
Sandra, who did you bring with you today?
Well, every day I bring a friend over from the shelter because that's where I started, and I love having an office buddy. So today I brought Kilo. He's a little staffy mix, and he's my today office buddy. And I love him.
He's adorable. He's not loving sitting for a podcast. Come here,
no,
Kilo.
He was doing really well, though.
He was.
Kilo, come here. Come up here again. Come see everybody. Come show everybody how good looking you are. He is actually currently up for adoption as well. I'm going to plug adoption anytime I can. He's a great guy looking for his forever home.
So, Sandra, let's start there. So, what is your current title?
I have shifted my title in the last couple of years. I'm looking after more of the Chief of Capital Campaigns and Shelter Advisor.
And how did you start?
I started as a volunteer in 2008. I started as a volunteer, and then I started working for the society in 2009. I did a little stint earlier, 4 years prior to that, but I've been here with the society since 2009 full time.
So just for those who've been around, so in like 2008, was it the Dartmouth Shelter? Was it Metro SPCA?
Yes, it was.
It was Metro.
It was Metro. We weren't a provincial run organization. It was so much smaller than it is today. And we've grown so much over the years, which is something we should all be proud of.
And you are instrumental in that growth.
Thank you.
So when you started, what were you doing?
I started as the Dartmouth manager. So just for the Dartmouth shelter next door. And we grew from there.
So take us back to that time. So that was... I know if my math is right. I mean,
it was a mess when I started. I'm going to not lie to you. It was a mess. It wasn't the professional organization that it has grown into. It had a lot of just struggles, financial struggles, volunteer struggles, and we really kind of hit. We started on the bottom tier, and we've been working to rise up out of that since then. And it's kind of amazing. I don't think I could have described or even closed my eyes and imagined where we were today back in 2009. I think we didn't even have a veterinarian. We didn't have any hospitals. We didn't have any of the things that we have today. And I don't think we couldn't provide the care because we didn't have those things available to us. So I'm most proud of that.
So take me through some milestones from 2008 until we'll get to today's topic du jour, as I do, but I want to give a background of how we got to this, because
you're doing this because it's the first time I'm on here. You have to trap me in this conversation and bring me back. I'm really 2009 to probably 2015 was a blur. It was really trying to get rid of all of the old and bring in the new, and getting new processes, new standards of care. We became No Kill during that period of time. We started a palliative care program during that time. We worked really hard to bring our foster and volunteer programs online because we didn't have any, and those really boosted our capacity. I mean, I remember when we started, we did 800 animals a year, and we grew to 3,000 animals a year in the same building. Replacing all the infrastructure was a huge part of it, which we now need to do again. And it was really just trying to bring the organization into you know, the 21st century. Like, sheltering, what's most amazing to me is how much sheltering itself has changed, not just in our organization, but across North America. It used to be, you know, high kill shelters existed everywhere. And it's really kind of evolved to such a better place. Like, it's totally evolved from where I started. And it's nice to see that people have put the time and effort into valuing human life and doing a better job for the animals that come into our care. So it's everywhere, like in North America. It's really a sector that has grown enormously.
What would you say the difference has been for dogs and cats in our care?
I think that we have provide amazing veterinary care. I don't think people realize how much veterinary care goes into the animals, every animal before they go up for adoption. If they need a dental, if they need diagnostics, you know, if they need just anything that they need, they get before they go home. I think what we are starting to focus on now, because we have the veterinary care kind of all sorted out, we are now back in putting a focus on enrichment. Animals seem to be coming into our care that have more behavioral concerns post-COVID. Some of them have more medical issues and they may stay in our care longer. So I think that we need to put more focus into their mental health while they're in our care. We've grown into being more accepting of using behavior medications and understanding that mental health in animals does matter and it can be impacted by coming into a shelter environment. So I'm proud to say that we are now, you know, really delving deep into that. We have veterinarians that really believe in that as a form of care. And so I'm proud that we are, you know, kind of, you know, looking further into how we can make their stay better with us. And the whole Operation Snooze was one of those.
So before we get into that,
yes,
what has the change been that you've seen from, you know, managing one shelter to overseeing, you know, like for us becoming a provincial organization? What have you seen in a change in volunteers and staff?
I think that we've been trying to standardize so that if you go into one shelter or another shelter, you're having the same experience, you're looking at the same information. I think that is a huge thing that we're always working at. Training's hard, getting staff on board with that. In terms of the animals, I think that we're still working on our infrastructure and trying to make those improvements as well.
I think it's been great. So from what I've seen since I've been here a couple of years, is the inclusion of college students.
Oh, yes, exactly. Thrift stores, like how we've expanded. We've definitely expanded our scope of business.
Yeah.
A lot of people think of us as just an adoption center for animals, and we really are and have become a social enterprise. So the thrift stores help offset our costs. The college is helping us recruit capable people to help work in our shelters and to work in our hospitals and to work in hospitals around the province, because we know that there's a lack of those available skills. So it's kind of amazing when you look at it from all of the different ways that we have expanded our reach and able to help animals in ways that we don't normally think of when it comes to an animal welfare organization.
That traditional
exactly.
All right.
Not everybody's doing that.
No.
Nova Scotia needs to give themselves a pat on the back just in terms of being a small province being able to kind of rally what we've been able to rally is you know, there's a lot of people that have been a part of all of that success and a lot of smart people that have helped us get there.
So I want to pause there for a second.
Sure.
We can P-A-U-S-E.
Okay.
I want to introduce you a little bit more. Kilo would also like to be introduced. I'd like to introduce you a little bit more to the audience with a game that we play to get to know our guest.
Okay.
And then we'll go into more of the operations side.
Okay.
So we play a game called Go Fetch.
Okay.
And normally I would throw a ball to you. But with Kilo in the room, in this small room, we thought, no, we won't. So it's an imaginary ball.
Okay.
So I'm going to, it's a lightning round.
Okay.
So who was your first pet?
Sassy.
Who was a?
She was a one-eyed cat. Back in the day. Little kid. First pet.
Okay. If animals could talk, who would be the meanest? Rudest?
Is that wild animals or domestic
animals? Any animal you want to.
Meanest?
Yeah.
I don't see animals being mean. So. Maybe like a crocodile would be a little kind of freaky for me. Don't seem to warm up to them.
Okay. And if animals could talk, who would be the nicest?
I don't know about the nicest, but the most fun would be a kitten. I love fostering kittens. They're just joy to me.
Okay. So in your time here, you are a hero to so many. Who is Sandra's hero?
Oh my gosh, these are hard. I think everybody that works in this industry, honestly, you have to have some fortitude to be in this world. The animal care staff that do such a great job. Everybody that works on behalf of animals, I have the utmost respect for them. Volunteers that come in and give their time, those people are all heroes for me. It's a lot of heavy lifting, and there's a lot of people that do great work. So I think I'm an animal super freak, so that's kind of where I always go.
Thank you for playing fetch.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So one of the things that you said, and I think that, you know, let's reiterate it, because I think it is something that we should be proud of, but also it's something that we can offer. So I want Nova Scotians who are listening to be proud of this institution.
Yes.
And I want people outside of Nova Scotia to, you know, if there's things that we can do that we are leading that we can help with. So we are doing a lot.
Yes.
We are doing...
with limited resources.
A lot with limited resources.
Yes.
And I think that we learn from a lot of other organizations, mm-hmm. and we take risks, mm-hmm. as well. And one of the key things that you say is another tool in our toolbox. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about our 2025 New Year's resolution for...
Yep.
Right now, our dogs in Dartmouth.
Yes.
But to roll out to our dogs, we'll talk about that. And that is to give them nap time.
Yes.
And when this first came up, Operation Hit Snooze,
mm-hmm.
I had a lot of questions. So I want to start with you telling our audience, our listeners, what is succinctly Operation Hit Snooze?
Operation Hit Snooze is just to have a period every single day structured. I kind of look at animals and especially dogs, it's kind of like children. They need consistency, they need positive reinforcement, they need those things to make them healthy and happy, and they need predictive experiences. So for them, a scheduled nap time every day. In shelter environments, the lights are on throughout the day. Like if you think of your dog at home, how I kind of thought of it is my dogs at home sleep a lot. But they're safe. They love their lives. They're very well looked after. But dogs in shelter environments tend to be awake and very aroused and stimulated for up to 12 to 16 hours a day. And that's a long period of time not to really have quiet time. And so what I wanted to bring to the enrichment toolbox was to have a period of time in the morning, after the morning, we call it morning clean in our shelters. It's kind of like groundhog every day. You kind of get up in the morning, you get everything done for the animals, and then have it a little bit quieter with the lights dimmed, no going into the rooms, having completely kind of locked down from people, and let the dogs just have a little time to decompress quietly and to rest and to kind of rejuvenate themselves and to get themselves, I call it bringing the temperature down in the rooms, just so that it's not always amped up. Some dogs don't mind that kind of overstimulation and arousal, but other dogs, if they've come from a quiet house or if they're a senior dog, they don't necessarily appreciate all that. So it was just to have some quiet time for the dogs, have some music in the rooms, and just kind of make them a little bit more comfortable in their state with us. And so far, it seems to be working out really well. It was hard to let go because it's happening when we're open to the public. And we've always wanted to make sure that when people were coming to see an animal, that that animal was accessible to them, because we never want to miss out on an adoption opportunity. So it was kind of hard to go, no, if people come. And that's why, you know, we wanted the public to know, so that if they come in, they have a little bit more patience with us. They've driven to see us and the dogs are in nap time, but they're not going to say, well, why can't I see that dog? It really, we're sticking to our guns and we're asking people to be patient and just wait for that nap time period to be over so we can give that to the animals. And I think it's going to work out really well. And staff and volunteers are really excited about it. Even volunteers have changed their times of when they're going to come in so that they can be most effective when the animals wake up and take them out for a walk. And it's just different ways that we can improve their stay with us and make their lives just a little easier.
So what we're doing is nap time. We're piloting it in,
yep.
in the Dartmouth shelter.
Yes.
And so nap time is from 11 to 12.
Yes.
And so the first question would be, how much and you touched on it, but if you can just expand. So if we're open, let's say, at 11,
yes.
Well, how much have the dogs not rested before then? Like, what are they doing in the morning?
Well, when we arrive in the shelters, staff in Dartmouth, different shelters have different processes, but most part, it's pretty much the same, is that lights go on at 8 a.m. Staff divide up between cats and dogs and small pocket pets, or whatever, and immediately dogs start going outside.
So they're outside playing.
They go outside.
And barking, yeah, and running.
And, yep, it's busy. And then they want to be out of their kennels at that point. They've been in there since the night before. So, and then they get their food. They get their, a lot of them are maybe on different medications or whatever they need. Some of them may be going for surgery that day because they're going for a spay neuter. So, and then once that's kind of snowball starts at 8 a.m. when the lights go on, it's pretty busy until around 11 o'clock. And the rooms are being cleaned, new toys are going in, enrichment toys are going back into their kennels.
It's like lick mats.
Lick mats, Kongs, puzzle toys, like there's all kinds of different, depends. Every dog has different likes and dislikes, and we try to keep track of that on logs, and we try to give them what they like. And then there's volunteers that are coming in and sometimes taking them out for walks and things like that in the morning. So the 11 to 12 is just to kind of take a bit of a break before the afternoon, because the afternoon can be busy. We may look at expanding it to 2 hours. Like some shelters that I've researched into do it for 2 hours a day. But we're just starting it small, trying to log some behaviors that we're seeing and how it's benefiting. And then we will decide how to improve it or tweak it from there. But yeah, it's that's how the day starts. And then in the afternoon, usually a lot of dogs that are up for adoption anyway, they are out on multiple walks with potential adopters or volunteers, and they get rotated out throughout the day if the weather's good. Like you see, Kilo's wearing his little coat. Lots of the dogs wear coats and go outside. It's okay to be outside when it's cold if you're just monitoring the temperatures and if they're on a walk. And that's kind of how a day goes in the day. And then there's the afternoon cleans and food time at supper, and
yeah,
and the night crew comes in. Like it's 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I think a lot of people don't understand that we never close, that we're open on Christmas Day, and staff, we talk about heroes, staff that come in on Christmas Day, and volunteers that give those days that are really special to the animals.
And I think what we've said to get people to understand is, you know, it is a workplace, and your workplace has lights on and people talking and the buzzing,
yes,
and the phones and the talking. And so,
yes,
this is a dedicated time. So 11 o'clock comes.
Yes.
Dogs are put into their kennels.
Yes.
And they've got their...
They have comfy beds.
Comfy beds. Blankies.
We give them some of the younger ones that might need a toy or a Kong to kind of go onto their bed and to bring that calmness down. Chewing on things releases endorphins, and it helps them kind of calm. It's like a self-soothing with the child.
Yep.
So they just get on their beds with their toys, and the dogs are already, like when I was in there the other day, it was silent.
Yeah, I was in there and it was silent. And so they are in there, the lights are dimmed.
Yep.
Now this really also piqued my interest. So I heard about nap time. Okay, so we got to talk about it. But in my head, I immediately thought, okay, it's going to be just like classical music. And then I looked at the log that you were keeping, and it said reggae. And that just stopped me in my tracks, and I was like, I need to know more. And so tell us about the music that you're playing and why.
So it's the level of the music is important. It can't be really loud. It's just that we chose reggae because that was one of the ones the research told us dogs respond to. Heavy metal music,
no,
doesn't dogs don't respond well. Some dogs actually respond negatively to it. I've read that cats respond best to classical music. So we're trying reggae and classical. The longer beats seem to be something else that the dogs respond to. Continuous notes are things that the dogs respond to. So, and we have to understand too that dogs and cats have such an enormous difference in hearing than humans do. Like their ability to hear things and sense things is beyond what we can comprehend as humans. So ensuring that you're picking music and sounds and levels appropriate for them is kind of important to this whole process, because you're looking to soothe them, not agitate them. That's the whole purpose of this process.
So. And I heard audiobooks too.
Audiobooks, I just heard that recently, so we are going to attempt that. And it's interesting. We're going to log all these different things and see with staff and volunteers and see what comes of it. And then we'll probably start tailoring it as we roll it out to other shelters. We'll tailor it to what we've learned here.
I just want to point out to anybody who has said that maybe I'm too loud on the microphone,
yes,
that my dulcet melodic voice seems to have really worked on Kilo,
yeah,
who is now snoring at my feet.
Well,
so Kilo, Paula, Joel, Tom, whoever, I don't want to hear.
Yeah, well, see, this is the perfect dog, though. People need to understand that Kilo, if you're looking, oh my gosh, my phone, Kilo is like the best dog you could possibly take home. If you're looking for an adult dog that is just looking to be on your couch, I'm always selling.
Yeah, he's available right now. So if you're listening to this in the future.
He's actually, he was a star. He was on the morning show on CTV. Like,
yes.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I'm partial to Stafford too. But if you're looking for an easy dog, I'm no more puppies. I'm not taking any more puppies.
So when, let's talk about the fact that there is a benefit. So you had met, you were at a conference, if you want to talk about the conference, but you're at a conference, you're meeting other shelters, they're telling you, you have to do this. So what is the benefit of doing nap time if, like you said, it is taking an hour? So in Dartmouth, 4 days a week, we are open,
yep,
at 11 o'clock. And so there is an hour where people can't meet the dogs. So it is taken away from that potential, but the benefits, it's cost benefit analysis,
yep,
and the benefits outweigh it. And so what is it that you learned that you came home and you said, we have to do this?
Because it like I had said before, I used kind of maybe my own kind of terminology, but it brings the temperatures down in the room. Like when you have over aroused hyper dogs because of the sound, like shelters are noisy, they're loud, animals and people are coming and going constantly. When you just have that quiet time, just like people, if you're not well rested, you can be more emotional, you can be more agitated,
cranky.
You can be more cranky, you're not showing your best self when you're out meeting a doctor's. But if we can just make their lives just a little calmer, give them a better sense of just good structure and just improve their mental well-being, when they meet adopters, they'll show their best selves. A shelter, we never pretend that a shelter is a home. Like the whole goal of bringing animals into our shelters is to get them the medical care that they need and get them into homes as quickly as possible. Like that's our, and assess their behavior so that we make sure that we pair animals and people to the best of our ability based on our own observations and what we see with the dogs and then get them into homes. We don't pretend to be a home. We want them in homes, but we want them to show their best selves when they are with us and to care for them the best that we can while they're with us.
And so I had heard from Dr. Akerley at Tartan Tails Veterinary Hospital,
yes,
that some of the other benefits is resting their muscles, because like you said,
yeah,
they've been on walks, they're running around,
yeah,
so they need that. And then like what you're saying, it's the mental,
yes,
and I don't think that we talk about that, yeah, enough. Is, you know, we talk about physical health and we, you know, there's an emotional and mental health that,
oh, absolutely,
animals and shelters have,
yes.
And so what have you seen from and the staff and the volunteers seen from piloting this project?
Probably the first thing that we've noticed, because we've just started it, is how quickly the room goes quiet.
Like they want that time.
Yeah, how quickly everybody just goes into chill mode.
They're not fighting it like my toddler.
They're not fighting it like your toddler, not trying to climb out of the crib. It's quiet. Everybody seems to be, and it's really, what's important is the structure of it, is to do it every day. Animals are like people in that they like that predictability. They like the scheduling of it. The known is good for animals. Like we always tell people, when you take an animal home, just get it into a routine. You don't need to take it to 10 different places. It's just really great that you can take it for a walk in the morning, then let it kind of chill out for a little bit. Like don't overstimulate or overintroduce a new animal that you're bringing into your home. You know, give it time to adjust. And dogs, when they go home the first 3 weeks, the first 3 months, first 3 days, 3 weeks and 3 months, we tell people you'll see a different dog at all of those markers. And it's no different. So we're trying to kind of emulate some of those improvements in the shelter environment so that they're ready for adoption and just a little happier.
And I think some of the research helps about length of stay.
I'm hoping it's going to. I'm hoping because these animals are looking like they're more ready to, if they're calmer and they're better behaved when they're meeting people, they may be more, adopters may see them as being a better fit for them. But if they're not having those proper rest periods and they're not in a good mental health space and they're going out and they're, you know, jumping up and acting kind of crazy on the end of a leash, people are going to go, oh, maybe that's not the dog for me.
Yeah.
And so you can change the length of stay by having a dog that is more adoptable because you're seeing the true dog because it's mentally in a better space. And the other thing that we're doing too is we're, you know, there's some dogs that we use behavior medications for now. Just like sometimes people need that little bit of an assistance with their mood regulations. Dogs are no different, and cats. Sometimes they need those. They suffer from fear, anxiety, and stress just like humans do. And that's something else we're starting to assess with people is fear, anxiety, and stress. Because those things in a shelter environment can really impact a dog and a cat and their adoptability.
So we're rolling this out right now with the dogs in Dartmouth. What is the plan?
The plan is to just to log what we're seeing. We're logging music. We're logging the animals' responses to it. And then what we want to see is we want to see music and nap times in all of our shelters. We want to see it in all of the animal rooms. I want to see it in cat rooms too. And we're going to keep doing more research and finding other things that we can add to our toolbox.
So when you say that you want to roll it out, that is across 7
mm-hmm.
shelters.
So
that's going to take some
time. Many animals in many rooms. So yeah, in Dartmouth alone, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We have 8 animal rooms just in the Dartmouth shelter. So that's 8 speakers. That's 8, you know, ways that we need to make those music accounts. You know, there's a cost with everything.
There's
a cost with everything that you do. But some things that, you know, they're worth doing, so.
And you said cats.
Yes.
And so are you going to close the cat rooms for an hour? Is that part of the plan?
I'd like to see it happen.
She said silently.
I'd like to see it happen. Music for sure. Music's coming for sure. It's a little different in some of the cat rooms. They have natural lights, so it's not really like a dim the lights kind of situation. But we could restrict travel to those rooms. And in the intake rooms, it would be a lot easier to do it. But it's very difficult if you're closing. You might as well close the shelter if someone's going to come and they can't see any animals. So
right.
we have to, and it's a conversation we'll all have as a group and try to figure out how we could do that. Like maybe the cats are at a different time during the day. Because what we do with the dog care staff, they're doing other stuff when they're not allowed in the rooms. We would have to, there's always logistic challenges with everything. Nothing is impossible and nothing is ever off the table. That's what I love about working here too. Everybody is always working in the best interest of the animal, and we figure it out. We always figure it out, and we'll always make the best decision with the resources we have and with the ways we have to maneuver things.
I would love for listeners to comment either, you know, if you saw this on social or if you have our email, because I'm just sitting here thinking, you said that the cats like classical music, the dogs might like reggae, but like there's 2 guinea pigs over in Dartmouth and then there's bunnies. And like, what if the snakes do like hard rock, you know, like what kind of music do you think each species
I haven't
might
done
tell
that
us?
Much research. We're starting with the dogs. We'll see what the reptiles like. I didn't even think about what the reptiles like.
Yeah.
See, I'm not a crocodile person.
You're not, right. But maybe there's...
I need to open my heart.
Yeah, listeners, tell us.
I need to open my heart.
I appreciate from a fundraising background that you talked about the cost.
Yes.
Because it is going to be an expense to roll this out across the province. And so if anybody would like to support, you can go to Nova Scotia, SPCA.ca/hitsnooze, and you can make a donation. You can tell us there. There's a little question to say, like, what kind of music would you like to hear
okay.
us play for the animals? And then what we're going to do is supporters are going to get their own playlist so they can snooze along. Because maybe a listener's resolution was to have some nap time too. So make a donation. You're going to get a playlist so you can snooze along, coordinate with our
kids'
dogs.
Nap time.
Yes, if you can get kids to nap too, you're doing
sleep
great.
Is good.
You're doing great.
I wish I got a little bit more. That's okay.
Sandra,
I'll sleep in the dark room.
Sandra, I just want to thank you. A, for coming on the podcast that I finally cornered you and
yeah,
got
you
got
on, me
the on
the first one that's going to video.
I did get you on the first
yeah.
video, so.
I didn't realize I was like, hey.
So I really appreciate that, but I really appreciate the dedication that you've had to the animals here at the SPCA and that you do find these new tools to bring to animals. And that you're rolling them out. So thank you very much. Thank you for being here. If you enjoyed this podcast, if you enjoyed listening and learning about the Nova Scotia SPCA, about the latest research that is going on in animal welfare, please like and subscribe, share this, let others know in the industry, outside of the industry, animal lovers, that we have this podcast. I'm going to ask that in the description of the podcast, we put some of the research that we've read that you brought with us so that people can read more about why reggae, you know, and why more nap time if they're interested.
Yeah,
but
that's awesome.
Hopefully you have resolutions and goals yourself that our dear listeners, and one of them is to help us promote this podcast. And we will talk to you next episode.